Okay, so welcome everybody. So in B'Shelach, this week's Parsha, Rabbi Shefa Gold states, "We are sent on a journey of purification. The path seems impossibly circuitous, doubling back on itself, spiraling around and through every place of darkness within us, untangling the residual knots of our enslavement. We must take with us the bones of Joseph." The Hebrew word for bones also means essence. "As we journey forth, we carry the essence of our lineage, the bare bones of our wisdom, which we flesh out with our own experience. Our blessing is the wilderness, the landscape that will allow us to recreate ourselves in the image of freedom. The journey will call forth all of our strength and reveal every flaw. This kind of blessing that Ram Dass calls fierce grace. It begins in miracle as we walk on dry land in the midst of the sea." And then she continues and says, "Thus, every spiritual journey begins in the midst of turbulence of this world. And in spite of our fear, we somehow find the courage to take one loving step and then another. And with each step, finding our footing on the path that not only reveals itself step by step, but we do it. We don't let the fear stop us. We cross into the wilderness, leaving behind the safety of slavery, a life of conditioned response." So on the Shabbat Shira, we read in Parsha B'Shelach how the Israelites leave Egypt, Mitzrayim, how they immediately start to complain when they reach the Sea of Reeds, that they should never have left Egypt, how the sea is miraculously parted by Yud-Heh Vav-Heh so that they can walk through without drowning, how the sea closes in on the Egyptians, and how Moses turns the bitter water of Marah into sweet water with a piece of wood after the Israelites yet again complain about not being able to drink bitter water. A quick comment here, again from Shefa Gold. "One of the spiritual challenges of B'Shelach is the sweetening of our own bitter waters. If those waters are not sweetened, they will poison us and lead us back into slavery. The sweetening of our own bitter waters is the bridge connecting the infinite mystery with this finite, seemingly imperfect world." And now to continue with the journey of the Israelites, how they journeyed from Marah to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees, and from there to the wilderness of Zin, where they yet again complain, this time about being hungry, how they're given quail, another miracle, and the miracle of manna, which they're allowed to gather 6 days of the week, but only what they need and use for each day. And on the sixth day, they gather enough for 2 days because they may not gather manna on Shabbat. A quick tidbit on Shabbat. In this Parsha, Shabbat is used as a noun for the first time, designated as a fixed day that recurs regularly. And the Eis Chaim Chumash points out that the Israelites are expected to observe Shabbat even before it's been commanded of them at Mount Sinai, which is next week's Parsha. So this week's Parsha actually talks about Shabbat as if it already was in, you know, a command and they already observed it. Okay, to continue on with the journey, how they complain in Rephidim that this time there is no water, how Moses struck a rock and water came forth, and how Moses lifted his hand so that the Israelites won the fight against Amalek. Imagine all these miracles happening to a people who have been so enslaved for so long. So they talk, this Parsha talks a lot about complaining, but doesn't talk a lot about gratitude or a lot about joy in the receiving of their miracles. In verse 21, chapter 14, Moses held out his hand over the sea, and Adonai drove back the sea with a strong east wind all that night and turned the sea into dry ground. The waters were split. Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev translated the words Ruach Kadim, which actually means east wind, not as east wind, but as an ancient wind explaining God does not change or suspend the law of nature in order to work miracles. The wind that divided the sea had been created for that purpose at the time of the creation of the world. The Parsha reveals so much of how God continued to care for the Israelites despite their complaints. Had the Israelites for a moment finally begin to have faith in verse 31, chapter 14. The verse says, "And when Israel saw the wondrous power of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh had wielded against the Egyptians, the people feared Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. They had faith in Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh and in God's servant Moses." The Eis Chaim commentary here states that faith does not mean belief or doctrine or a creed. It refers to trust and loyalty expressed through commitment and obedience. But the Israelites, through their grumbling and complaining, continue to exhibit their inability to sustain gratitude or joy for the miracles they encounter and the freedom that they were given, the freedom, a blessing, so that they could become a nation as promised by God. Clearly, the Israelites had not discovered mindfulness practice or the practice of gratitude. And even with these practices, each of us have experienced times when we forget to be mindful or grateful in our relationships and in our dealings in the world. The Israelites experienced moments of gratitude and joy after they crossed the Sea of Reeds. In celebration of the miracle of the sea parting, Moses starts singing the Song of the Sea, and Miriam and the women rejoice with dance and timbrels. In the first verse of the Song of the Sea, it says, "Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to Adonai. They said, 'I will sing to Adonai, for he is triumphed gloriously. Horse and driver, he has hurled into the sea.'" Here we witness gratitude finally. But this is the only time that they are grateful in the entire chapter of all the miracles that happened to them. Shefa Gold says that the song lays out a formula for salvation, "My strength, O Z, and the song of God, Vizimrat Yah, will be my salvation." The blessing of Beshalach comes in the balance of these two aspects. Ozi is the force of will that I bring to this crossing, the place inside me that desires freedom and truth, and will to do anything for its attainment. The Zimrat Yah is the part of me that knows how to surrender, that opens to the rhythm and melody of God's song, and gives itself unconditionally to what is. The blessing comes in the balance of will and surrender. And in the Eis Chaim commentary on this particular verse, it says, the moments God appears to us seem overpowering but fleeting. To keep those memories accessible, we need to establish places where we can reconnect with those feelings of being in the presence of the divine. Those places where we connect to feelings of being in the divine's presence, I think, of course, are our synagogues, houses of worship, our homes, the sea, the mountains, the forest, all of nature, the places where we meditate, where we see art, where we hear music, where we meet with friends, and places within ourselves. We each have a place within ourselves that has the possibility of connecting with God's presence, with the divine, with the mystery of life, with the awesomeness of the moment wherever we are. We have the possibility of accessing that inner place, that space, through our meditation mindfulness practice, which helps us to maintain those inner expanses within us. As we breathe and sit in silence, we have glimpses of oneness, of holiness, of just being. And perhaps just being is the presence of the ineffable, of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, of the divine. When we experience glimpses or moments of oneness or holiness or just being in the moment, these moments add up to personal transformation. They accumulate. They become something more than we are the moment before they happened. We bring these expansive moments, these experiences, back into the world. We become more flexible, more gracious, more balanced, less restrictive. We have more gratitude, more joy, more playfulness, more compassion, and love for ourselves and for the other. As Reb Moshe taught last week about time and being, Shabbat is a time which we can connect to the presence of the divine, whether we're in a place of prayer, a place of beauty, or just at home. If we use Shabbat as part of our practice, we can connect to that flow of the divine, that awesomeness, and to just be. The Eitz Chaim commentary on Holy Shabbat in verse 23, chapter 16, says, "The holiness of the day flows from God's blessing and sanctity, as related in Genesis chapter 2, verse 3. It is an integral part of the divinely ordered cosmic order. It is an integral part of the divinely ordained cosmic order. Its blessed and sacred character is independent of human initiative. Hence, it is frequently referred to as a Shabbat of the Lord." So basically, the Shabbat has the flow of the divine always, and all we have to do is be able to tap into it through whatever methods we use, whether it be meditation, whether it be art, whether it be being with people. We just have to be quiet enough to let that flow envelop us. So a few quotes to ponder in relation to this parsha that relate to connecting with holiness, awesomeness, and just being in our relationships. Two of them are from Heschel. He says, "Our goal should be to live in radical amazement, get up in the morning and look at the world in a way that takes nothing for granted. Everything is phenomenal. Everything is incredible. Never treat life casually. To be spiritual is to be amazed." And he goes on to say, "Our radical amazement responds to the mystery, but does not produce it. You and I have not invented the grandeur of the sky, nor endowed man with the mystery of birth and death. We do not create the ineffable. We encounter it." And there's one more from Heschel. "It is when nature is sensed as mystery and grandeur that it calls upon us to look beyond it." And I'll read just one more from Buber. "The you encounters me by grace. It cannot be found by seeking. But that I speak the basic word to it is a deed of my whole being, is my essential deed. The basic word I, you, can be spoken only with one's whole being. The concentration and fusion into a whole being can never be accomplished by me, can never be accomplished without me. I require a you to become. Becoming I say you. All real life is meeting. All actual life is encounter. And I'll end with the words from Karov Adonai Lechol Karov Lechol Asher Yikra'u Ve'emet, which means Yud-Heh Vav-Heh is near to all who call out, to all who call God in truth. So let's take a moment.